here at the table.
No, Steve?
I just texted him. He did not respond yet.
So maybe he'll join us.
Okay. Thank you.
But if you, I don't know if Brian can see or not, but Sandra's there, Paul's there, Randy's there, and...
Oh, here, Steve. Okay.
Don Blank on our new finance director.
Oh, we are Steve. Hi, Steve.
Thank you. Hey, Steve. So, I doubt there's any public comments, but if somebody's there, they can offer them now. If not, we'll move on to approval of finance and audit committee meeting. Minutes. Do we need to do everything by roll call vote? Do you happen to know?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So, once someone makes a motion, then in second, we'll discuss. And of course, when it takes
Don't
a
move.
Vote, call you in turn.
Don't move.
Is there a second?
I'll second, David.
Thank you.
All right. So, motion and second on the minutes. Any further discussion? Hearing none. I'll set the vote. So we'll start. David, shall you vote first?
What would you like me to do?
Just vote on the minute.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
The motion is that we just need you to vote.
Yes.
Steven?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
And I vote yes as well. So we've approved the minutes from our last meeting. So next on our agenda is the year-to-date budget actual report. So I'll yield to the folks at BBTA to tell us about it.
Okay. So the budget actual report is actually in the FY21 budget draft. It's the first column, and it has the current period actual through 1/31 of 20.
Can you just use page numbers for them?
Sure. Is that a 4? Page number 4?
That's a 7.
Is that a 7? I'm sorry. Page number 7 is the budget.
Oh, so we're doing the next one? Page number 7. Oh, how do I do
it? Well, the budget to actual is on there.
I don't know what that sideways view.
Hold on, I'm just trying to turn it.
Rotate view. And then counter.
Okay. All right, so the budget to actual is listed in that first column. Which is included in with the yearly forecast of how we're going to end FY20. My estimate for FY20, based on the current period through 1/31/20, and our comptroller did get all of the books, or the controller did get all of the books closed through January 31st, we're actually going to be about $800,000 ending under budget. I just want you to remember that this is before the COVID-19. This estimates were done based on January. And even with the estimate in January, we're going to be about $800,000 under budget. The reason being is that there were a few things. A lot of it was UMass. UMass came in significantly under budget. I'm sorry, UMass came under budget by about $800,000. We're going to be a few million under budget, and that's because of different factors. But UMass was running their regular service, but they had some staffing problems. Therefore, it made their budget come in significantly lower. They were using their senior staff to staff the buses because they were having a problem getting drivers. So their budget was lower. There are a few other things in here that are causing our budget to come in a little bit lower than what is anticipated. A few of those are mentioned in my FY21 draft budget narrative. Hold on 1 second, sorry. Sandra, we should go to actually... Is the narrative up here, Brandy?
Yes, yeah, the Word document at the bottom.
Okay, so this narrative is coming up. This will be easier. Did you send this to them?
Yeah.
Okay. So actually, I apologize. On the narrative, on page 3, you've got to scroll down, are the reasons why the FY20 budget is coming in under budget. So there were some significant staff changes resulting in parts of the year with no CFO, claims manager, procurement officer. Those are just some of the staff openings. The pension plans were lowered because of some new employees that did not take it. New staff was hired at lower amounts than the previous staff. That's just based on how long the other staff was here. So therefore their pay was higher. Many of the new staff didn't take health and dental insurance when offered, even though the budget reflects a portion of it. I'm on page 3.
Yeah,
I'm right there.
I know, but it shows like that. That's why we need
I just talked about UMass. Supplies are under budget for ADA mobility. I think it's a classification error, so I'm just going to fix those and put them where they belong. I think that the admin portion has some of their stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Travel is under budget due to staff changes and gaps in the staffing department. That should resume next year. Penalties for our paratransit vendor, which is our next vendor, were significant. If you guys remember, there was a rough start to the beginning of the year. As of January 31st, they incurred $300,000 in penalties, which is taken off of their bottom line management fee. Penalty budget that the previous CFO had was only $105,000 through January. So the estimate for that penalty is incurred in next year. Right now, the penalties started at about $50,000 to $60,000 a month. They were only budgeted for $15,000 a month. Now they're around $13,000 to $14,000. We anticipate them continuing to be improved, so that will not be a fallback for us last year. But that is part of the reason why our budget is so significantly lower. Fuel for paratransit is estimated to come in lower than budget. That's just because less trips performed. I anticipate it'll still be lower next year because the next fiscal year, because of the results of this COVID thing, I think fuel's going to stay a little bit lower. So that's my preview of how we're going to end FY20.
Any questions for her?
Yep, yep. No, I just wanted to be recognized so if someone else wasn't talking over me. That's okay. My pet buddies thing. Has First Transit offered or are they looking for some sort of relief with their penalties or contract negotiations or anything along those lines, or are we okay?
The penalties are with our paratransit provider, which is Next. And as their service improved, they are not asking for penalty reductions. They agree with them because they were in the contract. They've increased service significantly, and they've watched them go down. So right now, they're not asking for anything like that.
Okay.
Any other questions for anyone?
Nope. Sorry.
Wait, Steve.
Farebox, it just jumped out at me. That's obviously going to be down dramatically. Now, whatever month we're in, even March, April, who knows? Will that absorb the 800,000? Do we think, or are we still okay if the fare box is diminished?
So we're actually under budget for the whole year by a couple million. Actually, the 800,000 was only UMass. They don't collect fare. I misspoke in the beginning, and I do apologize. Let me just double check. Yeah, so the fare revenue that's down, so SACO is reporting that 13%. The operations reports are only showing about 10.6% down in ridership. This is actually only through January. So the pass sales are also down significantly. This was just due to them being down. But actually, Paul was telling me that ridership on fixed route for the fares was up in January and February, right?
Yes.
February and March?
It was so up January and February, roughly a little over 5% each month.
Yeah, so the ridership had started going up pre-coronavirus. Now that the coronavirus hit, we're expecting to take a significant hit. But I think that our budget is coming in so far under budget that I think that we're going to be fine. So I just want to double check one thing. So the ending balance, so the total, So I'm expecting us to be so far under budget that I don't think that it's going to significantly hurt us. I think we'll be okay.
This is David. May I ask a quick question? So the large numbers for being under budget, the large amount that we've been under budget, these were because of one-time extraordinary savings, not because of ongoing operational savings. Is that correct?
That is correct. You know, the use of having less employees here at PBTA for an extended period of time, and also when employees were higher, as Lisa mentioned, they were higher at a lower rate than the employees that have been here for many years. And the biggest factor is that UMass didn't have enough drivers, but they provided the service, and they did that by using the senior staff, the people in the office.
Yes, I.
So those are the reasons. Those are like one time. I know that UMass Transit is building or was working diligently to build the driver pool. And with this and the students gone now for the rest of the semester, that's going to obviously have an impact. So we won't know until the start of the new year when the people that he had hired to be trainees can come back and actually do the training.
Quick follow-up question regarding UMass. And have they gone to basically the sort of spring break holiday schedule on a permanent basis for the rest of the semester?
Yes, they have. We had a meeting with five colleges, and they agreed to the service reduction, as it did not make any sense to have so much service while all the students were online education or whatever.
So that will also reduce, you know, wages paid because the fewer drivers needed, and also fuel costs will be down, et cetera.
That is correct. But we also have to remember that, you know, this was all based on January, but where we have to take the virus into effect is, yes, those costs will be down, but we also are keeping track of not only the extra supplies that are being purchased by our contractors, SATCO, VATCO, HUMS, UMass, we also are keeping track of the decrease in their salary and their staff and for drivers, and also the increase in the maintenance staff for the cleaning of the buses. So there's a lot that we're keeping track of with the hopes that we can recover that. We were told we can recover that from our already existing federal capital money. I know that they are working on some other relief for us. So we will continue to pay our contractors. I sent them an email today telling them that we will continue to pay our contractors for all those extra costs, with the understanding that PBTA will, go forward with looking for reimbursement from the appropriate departments, whether it's state or whether it's federal, because we don't want them to have to do that. It would be us that would pursue that. So we are keeping track of that. We do know that this could take years to get this reimbursement, but we are aware of that. We're keeping everything separate so that we can kind of try to stay on top of that.
Just to follow up on sort of changing demand, with the paratransit and senior rides, I presume that, you know, the medical rides for folks like that are going to continue at the same level they always have. It's really the more discretionary shopping trips and other personal trips for those folks that would be reduced. Have you noticed that reduction, and do you anticipate that to be significant as far as both in a positive and negative way relative to the budget?
Just to put it in perspective, as things started to change, so ridership started to go down, and as the governor issued emergency orders, then different things are closed, and it will limit the access of the paratransit riders. So the first week when the governor issued the first set of emergency orders, we saw a 50% reduction. Today, after the announcement that he made yesterday, we are basically transporting essential trips only. People are not going to work, they're not going to school, and
well,
I believe
a few that are still going to work. We've reduced paratransit hours in general, but we are accommodating a small number of riders who work in essential services. So our current paratransit hours are between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m., but we are transporting riders who are working in essential services outside of those hours. We're also providing paratransit trips for medical, life-sustaining medical trips outside of those hours, so that's primarily dialysis. And, you know, we cannot restrict the trip purpose still under ADA regulations, so folks who are traveling between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. can still travel wherever they want to travel. We can't restrict that.
So, but the ridership for today, I believe, was like almost just a little bit less than 200,000, right?
200 people.
200
riders.
Sorry.
On paratransit.
And we're used to 1,000.
Right.
We're budgeted for 1,000.
So it's you know, in the ridership and the fixed system also has been greatly reduced. If we go by daily numbers and you take an average, it's between 38% less trips that are being performed. Mm-hmm. Some routes have 60% of the ridership that is less, and some other routes have just about the same number of people, but the majority of the routes have seen a reduction, which is kind of sad because, as Paul mentioned, January and February we saw an increase in ridership and we were all really excited about that. So this just kind of came out of left field and has left us really trying to figure out what it is that we're going to do and what kind of service we're going to be able to provide. I don't know if they received the email that was sent out to MassDOT about the service reductions that we made. And just to give you information, which we're going to share with the board tomorrow, we reduced service based on information from the daily ridership counts that we get. Information from the staff, the operating entities, PVPC. I had a conference with Mayor Narkowitz, and so we decided to curtail the service to a modified Saturday schedule that operates between 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. And like Paul said, we make specific arrangements for people to make sure that they get to the dialysis. So if they need to get there before 6 a.m., paratransit is transporting them. We also made exclusions for dial-a-ride because the grocery stores are open to seniors between 6 and 7:30. So we're transporting seniors between 6 and 7:30 instead of limiting between 8 and 4 p.m. So we made those arrangements to make sure that people have access to transportation services so that they could get the essentials that they need. On the fixed route end, we've reduced the service but maintain service in each community to make sure that people can get to where they need to go. I know that a lot of the stores have closed, but the majority of our routes provide service to groceries and pharmacies. And I think Walmart and Target, I know the Holyoke Mall closed last week, but Target's still open, so we're still bringing the bus to Target, not only for the employees, but also for the people that need to shop there. We go to every single Stop and Shop and Big Y in the region, and I know in Holyoke there's very limited supermarkets, so we have to make sure that the Red 24 is operating in that area to ensure people can get to Stop and Shop. So that's how we modified the service. Obviously, we talked about the UMass transit routes, but we also maintain some of the other ones to make sure that people can have access. We're still providing service to the Hamilton County House of Corrections to take people out of the jail. There's no service into the jail, but out for any individuals that are being released. And we are not running any of the express routes because most of them were just going to the Holyoke Mall, the Purple 20. And the 21A was just going to Holyoke, and we have regular service on that.
So as for your question about the long-term budget thing, I am going to be optimistic that this virus scare is going to last a little while and not in the long term. I don't think there's any way to predict that, but I do know because on paper our budget is showing to be very good, I'm optimistic that we're going to be okay.
And the other thing that we also have to notify you is that in order to ensure that the workforce continues to come to work, considering all the uncertainty and also the issues that they have with daycare availability and whatnot, we are allowing individuals to board the bus through the back door, also as a way to maintain social distancing. So everyone can board through the back,
and we are not enforcing the fares. We are following dictates from the MBTA. We had a conference call with MassDOT to make sure that they understood what we were doing. And then the following, we did that on Saturday. And the following Monday, there was a, well, this Monday, yesterday, there was a MARTA conference call that included MassDOT also, and all the other transit systems. The RTAs went to rear door entrance. The union was very strongly pushing for us to do this because they are very concerned on their workforce. And I think Brandy is going to send out a message later on after this meeting. We do have a driver that has been diagnosed with the COVID-19. He drove on Friday, and we've taken all the precautions. But it wasn't a matter of if it was going to happen. It was more a matter of when it was going to happen. So that's where we are right now. And if the drivers start getting really scared, I'm not sure what kind of service we're going to be able to provide. But I do have to give credit to the drivers because they continue to come to work every day.
Just to follow up with one question on the drivers, obviously reduce the amount of overall service. That impacts, how much those folks earn. So how are you just currently paying them for what they actually drive, or is there any other sort of supporting compensation that you're considering or doing?
We had an extensive conversation within in-house and with the staff and the union, and we are guaranteeing the drivers 40 hours. They get a rotating schedule, so they all work. Right now, they under standard contract, they have 2 days off. Right now, they're getting 3 days off, but there's always a spare driver, so if anyone is sick, we will have people available to drive. So we are also, that was one of the issues or one of the negotiations that we had with the drivers in order for them to agree to reduce service on Saturday and the reduced hours. So we are paying them per contract the 40 hours. And for the paratransit drivers, their hourly employees, we are guaranteeing 30 hours,
32
hours. And they are transporting one person at a time to maintain the social distancing. And next is bringing them for specific training in smaller groups to do refresher training. So they are keeping them busy and they are rotating. One of the reasons why we decided to do this is that if they go find another job, like maybe work for Amazon that's looking for people, or for Walmart, when you start transporting packages, you might not want to come back to transport the very frail individuals that we are responsible for transporting. And also because once we let them go and they go, laid off, in order to bring them back, you have to do the pre-employment drug and alcohol testing. You have to do their background checks again. And that takes between 2 to 3 weeks. And we have built up the system or the pool of drivers that are available. And we didn't want to make sure that they're not lost because they don't have a revenue or income coming in. So that when we go back to full service, we don't have the issue of not having enough drivers to operate the system, which, as you can imagine, all the elderly will need to get their hair done, and they'll need to go shopping because they haven't been able to shop, or they're going to have all those medical appointments for non-essential medical trips that will need to be performed, and if we don't have the manpower, it's just going to be a real mess. So, and also because we want to be good employers, we have a commitment to the communities that we serve, and we just want to make sure that the people that rely on us, not only for the transportation, but for us to provide them income, are taken care of.
And Next is also reaching out to keep the drivers engaged to Springfield and other communities in terms of assisting with Meals on Wheels delivery while our senior centers are closed. So we don't have firm details on that yet. The city so far seems to have enough drivers at the moment, but as volunteers leave or get ill, we're hoping to be able to supplement that and keep the drivers engaged so they're constantly driving.
That's great. Thank you for that information. I was hopeful that you were doing that as far as supporting drivers. I know we're doing that here in our school system. So I was just, curious as to how that was playing out. Are there other questions relative to the year-to-date budget report?
Is this the end of the discussion on the budget?
I'm sorry, what?
We're just talking about,
are we just getting started going over the budget, or are we wrapping up going over the budget? No. I can't quite follow this conversation. We don't seem to be talking about the budget.
We've been talking about fiscal 20. And so the questions I was asking was just, are labor costs going to remain the same as what we predicted, which sounds like yes, because we're going to continue to
support. No, Doug, yes, I have the same questions. Are we paying people not to work? Are we able to keep them working or what? So I'm glad you asked your question. Absolutely.
Right. We haven't gotten to fiscal 21 yet, so we've got a little more to go.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any other questions on fiscal 20?
Just if there's any lessons learned or any variances that were not extraordinary one-time variances that we should be concerned with. Lisa, I'm sorry that I don't want to put a negative spin on it, but we sometimes have trouble finding out ahead of time or while things are going on in real time about issues that we might have offered advice on. We sometimes find out after the fact about stuff. So we're just trying to stay on top of any, conversations you're involved with right now. But if fiscal 20 is wrapping up, then that's good.
Yeah, no, as I think I told you guys at our first meeting, so I'm very transparent. So the stuff that, we're bringing to you is all of our anticipation about where FY20 will be and everything like that. So a lot of this discussion about paying the drivers and stuff was all the stuff that was on the table in part of that transparency with FY20. So no, unless there is something that pops out of the air that myself or Sandra didn't know about, you guys will have a heads up when it comes to anything that's extraordinary like this.
Okay, and Doug, just one other quick question. Lisa, you referred to a final budget where certain reconciliations are going to be made in a different format and all that. That's good news. Sounds exciting. When might we see, or what is the timing? Please remind me, what is the timing on the final budget review?
So the budget that was sent out to you is a very detailed budget. So the one that you have in front of you, that's what the final budget will look like. It'll just be... it'll just have the final numbers on it. But the budget that's in your packet is very detailed. It has all the departments broken down. It has the current period in the first column, the yearly forecast for FY20, the approved budget, and the FY21 budget. So that is the very detailed budget that I will submit to you. Unfortunately, I couldn't get all of the information that I needed from SACO in order to do a more extensive budget. So this one's a little bit more detailed than the board is used to seeing. Not quite as detailed as I wanted to have for you, but due to my constraints with changing SACO's way that they do their budget, unfortunately, this is the one that I had to come up with. So it's a little more detailed than the advisory board's used to seeing.
Okay.
Great. Any other questions on fiscal 20? Hearing none. Let's move to the fiscal 21 draft budget, if you want to go through that for us, please.
I just need a vote on the budget to actual to accept the report.
Accept the motion.
So move.
We have a second. We got a motion and a second. We'll do a roll call vote. I'll call you each by name, and then you can say yes or no to the motion on the floor, which is to accept the report. I'll start with David.
Yes.
Stephen.
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
And I also vote yes. So it's unanimous. Thank you. So we'll move to the fiscal 21 draft budget, please.
Okay, so the fiscal 21 draft budget. So I know that Brandy had sent you the narrative, which is what I'm going to be talking about. The draft budget Sandra's showing on the screen. So that page 6. So we're referring to page 6. Page 6 is the overall budget, and I'll just briefly talk about that, and then I can talk about the more detail that's in the packet. So this is the overall budget, which is the same thing that you guys had seen last year, but all of the papers that are associated with it is actually the detailed budget. So this is the budget where we were last year. This is the 51,980,735, which is the revision that the board approved in January. The budget for FY21 is a little bit less than that. The discretionary funding is taken out for those three runs. We did receive a little bit more in the operating subsidy, which is broken down at the bottom, which is the UMass, the Five College. We did receive some money for the Bite Mark program.
Is it talking revenues? What?
Yes. Yep.
So she's describing the first portion of it, which are revenues.
So the other subsidy, which is listed at the bottom, which has, this is the grants and stuff that we, get. The Bite Mark program is a mobility program that we received a grant for. The Quabog is a program that Paul's been working with. And that's for the scheduling, correct?
Yeah. Well, scheduling software, as well as hopefully some microtransit activity.
So you're just looking at the difference in the other subsidy that we get from there. So this is the same budget that you guys had looked at. I just want you to note that Sandra, could you go up a little? The FY21 budget, you're listing the revenues at the top. You're seeing the expenses at the bottom. I did plan on the revenues to stay at a decline. I didn't want to over budget those. Advertising staying the same. Interest, insurance recoveries, and miscellaneous going up. Operating subsidy, I explained. Federal operating grants, we asked for the same amount as we did the year before, only because we think we'll have some money left over this year, so we couldn't justify asking for more. State contract assistance, that is increasing according to the governor's budget, which is 19.5, and we get 28% of that. Discretionary funding, we would not have. Local assessments, that's going up by the 2.5%. As we go through, and this is just the general part, expenses are self-explanatory, a little bit of a change. As we go through the narrative as the detailed budget, which are the, I think there are 8 or 9 pages attached to this, that is the very detailed budget where it takes each of these things and it breaks them down by administration, and each department in the administration, it breaks it down by fixed route, paratransit, shuttles. So everything is broken down in the budget that follows. And that's what I'm going to talk about next. Go ahead.
If I could add something to the revenues, the operating subsidy includes $400,000 of CMAQ funding. We have applied to the MPO for funding to support the Purple 20 express service between downtown Springfield and the Holyoke Mall. Because last year we received funding for the Purple 21 and we could only receive for up to 3 years, so we are asking for a different route that's going to be modified. So even though it's listed in the revenues, we are not guaranteed to receive those funds. And also the state contract assistance is listed at the number that the governor has put out, which is the 94.5. And then 90.5 distributed through to the 15 RTAs. However, based on the circumstances that we find ourselves, we are not sure what that budget is going to end up as. So, you know, right now we are making these assumptions, and I want to make sure that you understand that we don't know what this is going to look like in a few months until the state budget is actually released, and there was no good news today when the sales, the projections for the revenue on the sales has been decreasing greatly because nothing's open.
Lisa, is that a similar true? You said we are going to be seeing a reduction in local assessments, and yet we have local assessments up 2.44, or in the notes you said 2.5%. Do you think local assessments will drop?
Yes. This assumption was made based on the January 30th reports, which are pre-COVID-19. The local assessments on this were made at the 2.5%, which were allowed by law, but absolutely. Because of the reduced service that we're already seeing in March, I anticipate that since local assessments, they're driven by many, many things, they're driven by expenses, they're based on hours, they're based on mileage, on passengers, they're based on so many different aspects that this virus and reduced service and the effects absolutely the local assessments will be driven down. We just can't anticipate how much, unfortunately. But yes, they will be lower.
You decided to budget them going up. That's why I'm asking my question. Why aren't you reducing them if it's likely they're going to go down?
Because this was based on January 30th, which was pre-COVID-19. And because this was just the draft budget, when we have a better idea of how long this reduction will happen, then the adjustments will be made. So the final budget will have to reflect some sort of reduction in the local assessments. I'm just not sure how much. We didn't have, because all of this is happening so fast within the past 2 weeks, we did not have time to even anticipate where we were.
It's the same with the state contract assistance. This is what the governor has put out, but once the House and the state get how much revenues are decreased, this number might change as well.
So that, and so David, that Farebox number, that minus 1163%, that's actually just based on, that's actually not COVID. That's actually just based on where we were as of January and how much we've lost in fare revenue. And because the time that we were gaining passengers, then the virus happened, we haven't had a chance to see how the gaining of passengers would even out the fares. So this was the best estimate based on January 30th. That 11% doesn't even reflect how the virus is going to hit us, because we won't know until we watch, because it's going to depend on how our expenses go down compared to fares.
Right.
So.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. Okay, so you will see that there is a net profit loss of the $558,279. That is just based on, again, this draft as to what we have here. That will bear significantly on, it could be higher than that if we don't get the $400,000 in the CMAQ grant, if we don't get the governor's thing, it could be as high as $1.3 million. I know Sandra is working with, and I don't know if you want to talk about what you're working with the formula.
As I had mentioned at the board meeting, MARTA was working in revising the formula for the distribution of the funds to the regional transit authorities. So it was left that we are, the new formula is based on ridership population and the square miles, ridership population and the square miles of the region that is being served. So using those factors, PVTA, it's scheduled to get 27.9% or 27.84%. Right now we get 28%. The way that the RTAs are doing it is that whatever you receive in fiscal year 20, it should be no less than that. So we do the old formula, and any additional funds will be split the new method. That still leaves PVTA in a small bind because of our size. If whatever formula we try to do and to split, you either benefit some systems and PVTA stays the same, or if you make any change to give PVTA additional funds, everybody else loses. So what we discussed, or what we discussed with MARTA, was that PVTA should be treated differently, the same as Metro West. And so there is discussion with the legislature to, instead of allocating the discretionary funds for MassDOT award of them as a grant program, that a portion of those discretionary monies will be allocated to PVTA and Metro West in order to make us whole in a budget. So that's what we've been working on with that group. And obviously now that our concentration and all our efforts are surrounding the virus, we haven't had an opportunity, and no one's discussing the budget at this point in time. So we will continue to advocate for PVTA to be treated differently because of our size, and see what happens.
So as for the, so now David, you had asked me about the more detailed budget. So now if we go to, if you go to the next page, pages 7 to 14 in the packet. So this is the detailed budget. This actually is what I developed. This actually lists the current period through January, the yearly forecast for the year through June 30th, the FY20 budget where it was approved. I did the best I could to break apart because my budget is more detailed than the previous budget. I did my best as far as I could tell to break it apart from where it was intended to be. So there are some discrepancies as I broke it apart. The FY21 budget is my estimation and where I believe will be. Again, this is a draft, so we will have some adjustments to this. But this is quite a detailed budget. So the revenue is listed and everything. And then I just want to talk about a few things on this budget. The last part of your packet, which is page 15 through 23.
Do you want to go through this?
As I talk, we can go through that. The last part of your packet are the budgets that I received from our contractors. But we're going to talk actually about these pages 7 through 14. So the revenues on here, I told you that the same as federal operating assistant was budgeted. The current RTCAP program is under review by DOT. State contract assistance is increased. We have to wait for the final budget to see if we'll actually receive that. We already talked about CMAQ funding. We already talked about SACO decrease in the fair revenue. I made the assumption that because the fair revenue had decreased through January, unless something extraordinary happens, I can't imagine that would go up for some reason, especially now with the COVID happening. So the assumption was made that that's where that 11% came from, because ridership had been declining all year and just had started to pick up. So that was that assumption.
The 11%, you're referring to the total?
Correct.
Fair revenue drop?
Correct. Yep, that was on the first page.
I'm having a little trouble following which line item you're talking about as you talk. Okay. If you just mentioned the large variances, anything you haven't yet to tell us why they're significant, if they are? Like college passes are down 19% or something here. I'm looking at the fixed route revenue, college passes admin down 19%. Like, what is that?
Right. So the college passes, so those are passes that are we sell to our local colleges. What is in there is, that's where Westfield is, right? So what is in there is Westfield University. So we were having Westfield does not wish to pay what they, because they're, how do you explain it? Because they're, Sandra had the conversation with them.
So what happened with Westfield State University is that once we moved to our new garage, the additional cost of the deadhead miles, they were not in favor of paying that. So we negotiated with them throughout the year, and they agreed to pay the fall semester as the previous year, but the spring semester at the cost for this year. So what we had budgeted for revenues from them was decreased, and also on the Springfield Technical Community College, the number of passes that had been issued is less. The enrollment at each of the community colleges and the universities except for the UMass system has decreased, and so that is reflected on the sale of the college passes.
And if I could just explain how you read this report, because I did go through this with Sandra earlier, and I apologize if it's not clear. So the yearly forecast, so I'm still on page 7. The yearly forecast that's in column 2, that is where I expect FY20 to end. The next column is the approved budget. So the FY21 budget and that variance at the last column, that variance is the difference between the FY20 approved budget and where I'm asking for the FY21 budget. The FY21 budget is based on the second column of where I think that the yearly forecast will end. And again, some of this was based on where I could break apart the previous budget. So some of that variance is that. But in these cases, those are very specific to what we're struggling with the colleges.
Got it.
So, and again, I told you the passes are down. Those all go with the revenue. And then the shuttle revenue, Palmer and Ware, we were showing an increase. I'm sorry, Paul, you were showing an increase.
Ridership has increased over the first year after the service reductions.
So we believe this might be a budgeting error, that maybe they budgeted too high for this for some reason, but because ridership went up, I think that that third column, which was the approved budget, just may be a budgeting error. Based on where I think we're going to end, and after conversations with Paul, I believe we're going to be more in the $5,000 range. So those large numbers are just because my 21 budget doesn't match the 20 budget. Next year when we do this, it'll be much clearer as to where we are, because it's just hard when you're working off an old budget that wasn't detailed and you're trying to detail it, and I do apologize for that. Next year, when we have the budget, which will be detailed, it'll go more in line with the FY21 budget that I'm doing. And I do apologize. It can be confusing the first time I have to break this stuff out.
Lisa, I think it's great. I think the detail is good to show us. I think that's nice. What I'm interested in is like, token sales to college kids is down. Is that something to talk about?
Yeah.
So, you know, to know is not – my wife went to Hampshire, so to know is not enough is their slogan, right?
That's so right.
Giving us the information is great, but like absolutely. Where we might be able to brainstorm on improving revenues is what I'm interested in, not just knowing the numbers. But if we're not being smart enough to sell college students enough tokens, I hope we can talk about that this year. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, no, I think that this is good. And like I said about that transparency, you know, and I was very glad to come on board and know that that's how Sandra is also. I think that this is really important because I think that, you know, having so many communities involved in our board, I think that brainstorming is important to maybe put everything together to try to figure it out. So I appreciate that. Paratransit revenue, I don't know if it was just over budgeted. Our ridership did decline. We did have problems in the beginning with Next that has been improving. Paul, I don't know, did it improve? I think it improved the last couple of months.
Ridership?
Yeah.
Ridership was down significantly in December, most likely due to that freak snowstorm early in the month. But ridership was almost even for November, and then it was up in January and February as with the rest of the system, up about 5 or 6%.
Yeah, so yeah. So with the declining ridership, so that's a big jump, you know, the minus 18.81%. But as Next has improved their service and everything, we're, you know, I hope that after this whole virus thing that that will improve. But I did not want to make the assumption of the 780,000 from the year before, so I did do more of evening it out as for where FY20 I anticipated ending, so I think that's more fair for our budget. I don't like to overestimate, especially on revenue, so that we don't understand how our deficit could be. There's always going to be extraordinary things that will hurt us in our deficit, but I don't ever want to overestimate being hopeful that we'll have 120,000. So that's why I just budgeted even. So, Sandra, if you could just scroll down. So the next part is the miscellaneous. So the revenue advertising, I had a conversation with Brandy, our marketing manager. We anticipate that the advertising revenue will stay the same. It's been really consistent the past few years. I just want to you to understand that that $176,000, again, I'm on page 7, the first column, that isn't necessarily reflective of 7 months of expenses. Advertising is very different, where some people have them for 3 months, 6 months, a year. So I, after speaking to her, I still feel that $300,000 is reasonable for next year. I know that this virus, Brandy, if I'm correct, you felt would impact some of the advertising, but because they were in contracts, we still feel that they'll be okay. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, up to date, we've lost maybe about $10,000 for people that were about to sign contracts in the UMass area, that they were for the Cirque du Soleil shows or things like that that were canceled. So,
yeah, so so most of that is already contracts that are in place. So I still estimate that we'll be at $300,000 revenue interest. I have that down just a little bit, only because I'm not quite sure how our market's going to be affected for next year. I just wanted to play it safe. Let's see, the big numbers. So the other non-revenue for administration and information. So information, when it's listed on this report, which I am having the controller change, that's actually for the customer service center, Union Station and Holyoke. So that's actually customer service. The 19% because I'm estimating it down. I'm not sure where the 5476 came from. And in my narrative, I did explain that I have to look at those a little bit more. I don't like using, and I think I told you this, miscellaneous or other, because I don't feel that it lets you know really where that belongs. I think there's a place for everything. So by the final budget, I will have that stuff broken out into the other categories where they more accurately belong, and I do apologize, I didn't have enough time to do that. So I don't like using those categories because I can't tell you for sure exactly where those numbers, like exactly what that category is. So I will have that broken out for the final budget. So I wouldn't be too alarmed about that 119%, but I wasn't comfortable budgeting for 5476 again when we only have 1456 as of January, so I just wasn't comfortable. The insurance recoveries, so paratransit, there was nothing budgeted for FY20, and we already have 70,000 in insurance recoveries that came in, but because paratransit is taken over by Next, I'm not anticipating us to have insurance recoveries for 21. That only exists because we had a backlog from our ex-claims manager, and some of that backlog went to years before Next took over. So I think that's just, well, I know that that is just residual. And after speaking to our new claims manager, who's very good about cleaning things up and everything, I don't anticipate that we can plan on any insurance recoveries for paratransit. That's just part of the backlog. For UMass, the 35,000, I'm comfortable with doing the same, and then also with SATCO and VATCO. So if you go to page 8, Sandra. So the 6% for the gain loss on sale of assets is because we went over exactly what we're selling this year. The $85,000 was what was budgeted. It looks like we're only going to come in about $48,000. But based on the buses that are coming in next year, Sandra and I were comfortable with the $80,000 for gain on the sale of assets. The transportation subsidies I already went over. If you could go to page 9. Oh, I'm sorry, hold on. So the total revenues, so I'm anticipating that we're only going to bring in $51.1 million to end FY20. The budget had $51.9 million. It's off by about $800,000 and by all of the factors that are above that. So if you could just go down. Thank you. And so now we're going to be on page 9. So these are the expenses. So page 9, so our wages for FY20, which is the second column, I'm anticipating are going to be a little under 1 million. We were budgeting for a million.
Administration.
I'm sorry, for administration. Yep, so we can take those all into one. So we're anticipating the wages being in for the whole wages for administration at 1.368. The budget was for 1.4. That all has to do with the staff changes, the gaps that we have. And so for the year after, I anticipated, even if I put in the positions that I talked to Sandra about, we have a few positions that are changing where we're going to be going to a contracted service because we don't have a lot of necessarily projects. And then also fulfilling one procurement position, I still estimate for FY21 that we're still going to be under budget where FY20 was the previous year. If we go to fringe, the fringe is universal health for administration. I'm not sure where the $500,000 came from. I'm still only going to budget $2,500. I didn't foresee in the year before that it was over $2,500, so I'm comfortable with that. Information again is customer service. I'm only estimating it to be 33% down from FY20 because I can't see it as ending at more than the $750 for FY20. So the pension fringes are increasing by 20.41%. We have eight new people that are now going to qualify. This is just because the past year and a half, we've had so many new people join that they have to be here for a year and wait until enrollment in July. So PBTA contributes 12% to their pension. if they put in 4%. So I took that all into consideration, even with the addition of the positions and even with any raises that were anticipated, and that's what I anticipated for the company to put in for the pension for all these people. That also is another reason why I think we saved significantly on the budget the year before, is because there were so many new positions that didn't qualify for pension.
Is there new retirees that are drawing out of it, or is it just because of it's strictly generated by payroll expense?
So this category for fringes for pension, that is truly by employees that are working. If we look lower down here, we will see, if you go down to, there's a category called retirees. The retirees are because we have a new retiree. So the new retiree is the CFO before me. She was added to the pool before, as she was leaving. So she is new, and you'll see that as we go further down, that under admin, the retirees are going to be above what was budgeted for FY20. But as for this amount, this is just the people that are currently employed. So if you, Sandra, if you scroll down, I'll show you, Stephen, where it is. If you scroll down.
Right here.
There it is. So the retirees for administration. So if you look under fringe benefits, health insurance, the retirees pension plan is not going to show up here because we don't put in any money once they retire. This $219,000 is just the money we put in for employees that are currently working. But if you look under fringe benefits for health insurance, you'll see retirees administration. You'll see that in the third column for FY20, it was budgeted at $90,114. You'll see in the second column that we're going to end at $95,250. That is because the previous CFO was added to that pool before she left. And so I had to take that into account, which is why I went up by 13.99%, because it's going to increase, and I believe we're going to be at $104,775. So that's where that came in. Under, under the pension reserve, the reason why there's a difference is, no, you have to go back up. Sorry. Okay. So now we're still under fringe, under pension reserve. You'll see that it was budgeted $375,000. And I'm going to anticipate we're going to put in that $375,000 that was in the budget that was approved for last year. I only anticipate putting in $300,000 for next year, which is down from the year before. That was because we do have to fund that pension plan. After speaking to our pension consultant, I think that's the minimum that we're going to need to put in there. I hate taking from pension to balance a budget, so that is in there. The other big things are, so the retirees ADA. I'm anticipating that's going to be at $23,513. I'm not sure why she only budgeted $20,000, because it's going to end at $21,375 because we know what the insurance was for the year. So I'm not quite sure why there was a discrepancy there. It may just be because they were all together. I'm not quite sure. So if we go down, Sandra, so on page 10, so we're looking at, the 14.31%. So the IT support for administration, that's just because with all of the new people and everything, we've used more IT. I anticipate us using more IT this year than we used to. That's where that came from. Janitorial, our contract actually went up. I helped them off. They had come to me in January asking if we would increase their contract due to PFMLA, EMAC, and the minimum wage going up, because we have a small business that does our cleaning of our offices and of Union Station. I did hold them off because I wasn't comfortable being the new CFO and increasing services without having a handle on the budget, so I did hold them off, but those are going to go up significantly. They're actually going to go up by about 12%, so that's why those have increased. The company absorbed the first cost for FY20, but I just didn't think it's fair for a small business to have to absorb it again. So after speaking with Sandra, that was the decision that we made, that we would increase that contract. There's only one more year left of that contract, so. Security for information, administration's fine, but security for information, that's actually Union Station in Holyoke. We did have an increase there. Our contract for security had gone up, and what was the other thing we were talking about? Security had gone up? And it may have been misbudgeted. I'm not quite sure why it was only at $100,000. Again, when I was trying to break it apart, we had a problem. But we do know that they do have security, plus we pay the police officers to come and do some security there also during certain times. It doesn't reflect it on here, David, but I know that you'll ask the question. Now with reduced hours at Union Station in Holyoke, even though we're still paying for security, I think that this will decrease a little bit because I don't think we're using as many hours. So I think that will decrease by the final budget. I'll have a better idea of that when we have our managers meeting next week so that I can understand how all of this is affecting customer service. Planning is looks like it's being increased by almost 50%. The problem is that I couldn't find the number that 60 in the third column, the 64,000. I couldn't figure out what her numbers were. It really should be more at the 125,000. So I think that's just a budgeting thing between the two budgets.
Lisa, does that reflect what we pay the planning commission? Is that what the number is?
That is correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I know it wasn't 64,000. So because we have a certain amount with them. So yeah, the 125 is more where we're gonna be. So, let's see. So I think that's it. And then supplies, I just budgeted the same as the year before. I think they're all gonna end around the same. So that was fine. The ADA mobility training for supplies. Again, I think things under administration are misclassed. So I will have my staff look at that. If you could go down a little, Sandra. So the thing I explained on the narrative with the utilities is because there was no CFO for a long time, I have wonderful people that work for me in accounts payable and everything, but I don't think that they understood, because we have so many different utility and telephone companies and information stuff, I don't think that they quite understood where this stuff belonged. So as I was developing this report, I was breaking things out of the where they actually belong so that the board could have a better idea as to where we were. So these numbers of the minus 200%, minus 50%, minus 42%, that's only because where the previous CFO had this stuff budgeted, when I moved it where it belonged is what happened. Like I moved stuff between telephone and utilities because that's where it belonged. So that's where these discrepancies came from, was just when I was doing the budget. Postage, I don't know where the assumptions came from. I'm just basing them on where we are now. And I think that the board was told about we're trying not to print and send things out, so we think that that will go down significantly. The accounts payable department under me is also paying more things online so that we don't have to necessarily cut so many checks and send out so much postage. So that's part of our, what do you call it, paper-free, is that?
Paperless.
Paperless reduction. So that was part of that's part of the paperless reduction. Let's see. Again, I think we're good. So now on page 11. Oh, page 11 doesn't look too bad. So, page 11 doesn't look too bad. Travel was down a little bit only because because of the new staff and stuff, and any travel that we had scheduled for March, April, May, and June has been canceled. So if you could go to page 12.
I think Lisa is a little more confident on the interest of the money, because based on the market, I don't think we're going to have that interest number to increase. So that will be something that will have to be looked at, adjusted.
Right. And again, this was based on January 30th, before Corona and before the stock market crashed. So I think that that was just a reasonable assumption. But when we present the final, when I present the final budget, those numbers will have to be adjusted. So this was January. These numbers, I think I'm anticipating, so I'm anticipating the same, but just to let you know, I did get the paratransit vendor next budget late, and I apologize, I was under the gun because I was having a problem getting contractors' budgets. So that 8202549 that I budgeted for next year, I think that's actually going to be lower for next now that I got a hold of the contract, so I do apologize, but that number will be adjusted in the final budget. We don't have any of the $182,000 startup costs that we had. I did put that budget in your packet, and you'll see that the first 2 years we had startup costs that don't exist now, and I do apologize. It was just a last-minute thing, so I will adjust that so that paratransit thing will go down.
I'm just curious, not to make trouble, but do we really spend over $1,000 a month on travel?
Where are we?
That was only because we had new operations manager and new people in departments. So no, we don't normally do that. It's just because of all the new staff we've had to get. The operations managers had a lot. And the P task. Paul can explain. A lot of that is Paul, and he'll be happy to explain his travel.
Yeah. Under federal requirements, I needed to be trained in as the chief security officer. There's a series of courses that are offered intermittently around the country, and unfortunately, they're not offered often close to home. So you need to go to where the courses are, and I need to complete the training. I would assume they may extend the deadline now, but we had until the end of fiscal year 2021 to complete the trainings.
So, and the other thing is, too, is that, normally training wouldn't be like that, but unfortunately when you have the new staff, that is required. I have a new grants manager that is going to require a refresher on grants training. We also are anticipating a procurement officer. The procurement course, in order to be fully trained, and even though a procurement officer may be trained in procurement, they will need that refresher. It's actually a 4-part course that requires travel. And even if they're just going to Boston, it's like, I think it's a week at a time, am I correct? So a week at a time, it's going to take 4 full weeks. It's important training, but that's how come that is in there. That would not be in there for the following year, as long as our positions would stay the same, but I had to put that in there for our procurement officer for that training. Okay. So, but normally, yeah, that's a high amount. It's only because of how new our staff is. But Paul's going to stay here forever.
Going to Aruba. I'm not going to Aruba. I was hoping somebody was going to Aruba.
I would love to go to Aruba. I think we should all work remotely from Aruba.
I'd be happy to go to Aruba for the next training.
It's always in Boston.
I'll see if I can work that out for you.
Okay, thanks. let's see. So we talked about, so the fuel subsidy we had talked about. Again, that $900,000 that's listed under the subsidy for paratransit, I may bring that down, depending on how we forecast in the next month how the virus is going to affect us. A lot of these numbers are going to have to be adjusted. Insurance claim payments, I mean, and I kind of just left that the same as it was. So that's it for paratransit.
Very good.
So now we're on page 13. So this is the fixed route services for SACO and BACO.
And UMass.
And UMass and the shuttles, yep. So this is all the fixed route services. The subsidy for SACO and BACO, we asked them to increase by 2%. We worked it out to that 3.06%. Let's see, the additional subsidy, that was just to cover for that 600, that money that was up above for those 3 special routes for that grant. Intercompany maintenance, they dropped that down by 10,000 to try to balance their budget. Equipment and maintenance is in addition to the intercompany maintenance. I think that's just a budgeting discrepancy when I broke across the budget, because they've only spent $1,500 as of January, and this is money that PVTA pays for them. I don't think that it's going to be at $11,000, which is why that's budgeted at $5,000. The telephone and the utilities, they balance each other out. That's because I printed a report where they were mixed up, so I separated the vendors so that we would have a more accurate idea of where that is. So, unfortunately, it did mess up those numbers, but they kind of even each other out. Under the miscellaneous, again, this at the final budget, I will have that listed out better. I don't quite know where the $140,000 was coming from for the miscellaneous. As I said, I don't like using miscellaneous because I think it should be broken out. I will have that fixed for the board by the final budget. It will not be $140,000, which is why I budgeted $70,000, because they've only spent $37,000 as of now. And SACO is really good about giving us their bills even within a month. So I don't anticipate it being $140,000. The fuel is going down by 15% because their comptroller lowered their fuel from $2.06 a gallon for diesel down to $1.78 before the oil market went down, which was phenomenal. $1.78 was the best price that I think we've had in years. So he did some great, great work to lower that budget by over $200,000. That also lowers the UMass fuel also significantly. Now, UMass fuel is lowered even more because of the price and because they're using less fuel than they did before. The insurance claim payments are up by 15%. I think that we're more looking at $100,000 based on the claim reserves that I saw on our system that I believe will potentially be settled in the next fiscal year. I think that $100,000 is a more reasonable guess for that. So for I just explained UMass. So for UMass, there were no insurance claim payments in the budget for UMass for FY20. I do have to add them for FY21. I don't know why they weren't added, but we do have a major accident, which the board is aware of. So that's why that $60,000 is in there to help cover our reserves, because I don't like being taken by surprise. The shuttles are all up by about 14%. We're budgeting for the subsidy. So those are because in your packet, there is a letter from Humes, who runs our Ware, Palmer, and East Hampton shuttle. He actually sent us a letter, Paul and I, back in January, I think, asking us to increase his rate due to PFMLA and due to EMAC and minimum wage. And we put him off, saying that we didn't want to do it in the middle of the budget. Same thing I do with the janitor. So we did agree that we went to Sandra and talked, and we did agree that we would increase that. He does run those for us. It'd be very hard not to get somebody to do those, and it was a reasonable request considering that he's done it for the same price for many years. It's only $70 a day, so that's where that came from. East Hampton fuel and maintenance, that's down by 25%. I just think that was misbudgeted last year because they're really going to end probably at 12, almost 13,000. So we're almost done. I'm so sorry. So this is the total expenses for the year. So if you're looking, so the first column, the 24,247, that's where we are as of January 30th. I anticipate we're going to be at a little over $49 million. Our budget was for $51.9 million. As I said earlier, it looks like we'll be about $2 million under. I'm anticipating that next year we'll be at $52 million, which is a little bit of an increase. That number will change by the final budget due to the coronavirus and due to me having to adjust the paratransit expenses. So that's my overview, long overview. I'm so sorry. All the other pages are the SACO-VACO budget that they submitted to us, which is more detailed than it usually is. UMass budget, it is the next budget, and it is the Humes request with a budget so that we could have an idea of where they were standing. So you're looking at what they sent us. Next year, my goal is to have these budgets more match those pages that we were just looking at. But it was hard to get information because when you're changing something like that, it's difficult. But they all, but Seth Lovato and the other one said they would work with me through the year so that we can make this transition easier for them.
Okay, great. So I will make a motion we accept this budget.
Is there a second? Second. We have a motion and second. We'll do a roll call vote after any discussion. Any further discussion or questions that we might have before we vote?
Just for clarification on the motion.
So I think I heard parts of two different things. So the motion is to adopt the report, but I think, Steve, did you have something you were adding as well? Or no?
I was just going to thank everyone for their detailed explanation. So all the work that went in to build this.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
This is fantastic. Thank you so much. I know it's going to change quite a bit before we actually vote the budget, and that'll be part of the message I give to the Fuller Advisory Board tomorrow relative to this. I won't go into nearly the detail we just had, but I will share with them the tremendous amount of variability that's in this, partly because we're just changing the structure of how we're presenting it, but also just given the number of unknowns and things on the move literally day by day that are going to impact us and impact our budget. So that'll be some of the stuff that I share as far as what we report to the full board. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll do a roll call vote. So I'll call each of you out and you'll vote on the motion to accept the report. So we'll start with David.
Yes.
Steven?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
And I also vote yes. So we've adopted that report. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the next agenda is other business, which I don't know of any. Is there any from the PBTA has that they need to mention to us?
No, not right now.
So I'll do the report at tomorrow's meeting. I'll probably try to do a framing and broad overview.
See, you guys questions. Want information. You get information.
Right. No, it's absolutely great. I'll see if our other board members who've done their homework and have questions about things they've seen in the material that's here. We'll dig into details if necessary, but I'll keep it fairly broad and introduce it, and then we'll go from there. Is there any other items we need to discuss today?
May I ask Sandra a quick question?
Sure.
Sandra, any money or projects underway? I guess I'm wondering about, any hope of expanding service, even if it's small-level service or a rural service. Is there money in the budget to continue doing pilot programs and experiments and stuff like that to improve what we do so well already? You understand? I don't know how to ask the question exactly, but do we look forward this year just to survival, or do we look forward to any pilot programs or expansion opportunities?
This budget is based on running the same level of service that we currently have. There is no additional projects. We have been applying for grants for projects, and my concern with doing the discretionary funding for the G1, the B7S, and the Purple 20 Express was that we were only given money for 1 year, and now we have to find ourselves trying to figure out what we'll do in order to maintain the route that is seeing the greatest increase in ridership. So I think what we are working on is working with MARTA to try to get allocated money specifically dedicated to PVTA so that we could use those funds to make some of the changes that we would like to make, and also to follow the recommendations from the regional transit plans that have been put together by MassDOT. I know that we originally had them to be present some information tomorrow at the meeting, but because of
the virus and everything, the team is not ready to make a presentation. I had mentioned at the last board meeting that AECOM is the consultant that MassDOT hired to assist the RTAs in preparing those documents. And we were going to do some public outreach, but now none of those activities can take place. And they wanted to do a presentation to you guys as well of where we are right now and where our system is. And as they work to put together recommendations for us to implement. So I will continue to work with MARTA to try to get the legislation to put language that's specific to PDTA and go from there. Because other than that, it's just discretionary funding that would only last for 1 year, and that really is not helpful at all.
Right. Thank you very much. Yeah, I guess what was on my mind is like, you know, how good are we in an emergency, whether it's COVID or something else? And it sounds like you guys are reacting good, very well to it. No one's losing their work, and people are still getting around, so that's all good news. Sandra, one last thing. Sorry, Doug. Would you mind saying a word just on the passing of Tim Brennan, please, tomorrow?
Yes, of course. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Hadley guy. Thank you. That's it, Doug. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other things from the other members? If not, I would take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
The second?
Second.
Aye. And the second.
Aye.
We'll take them in order. So, David.
Yes.
Steven.